The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 28th, 2015 in Melbourne, Australia.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So many years ago, when Prabhupada was present on this planet, he had a series of conversations with one Peace Corps worker named Mr. Bob Cohen. And Prabhupada very much appreciated the questions and answers that happened in that dialogue. So he had them devotees make a book, Perfect Questions and Perfect Answers, which is available. That Bob Cohen later on became a disciple of Prabhupada, became Brahmatirtha Das. Not my personal friend, actually, now. So, this philosophy is so wonderful that we can give perfect answers, you see. Not that I have any qualification to answer. But by referring to the authorized Vedic wisdom coming down from Krishna through the line of disciplic succession, we can give perfect answers. So, we can't, it's not our credit, it's the credit of Prabhupada. But we can give perfect answers just by referring to Prabhupada's teachings. We can perfectly answer all questions. So take advantage, this is a question and answer session tonight, it's not a lecture, it's a question and answer session. There are papers available if you want to ask a question, pen and paper if you want to ask a question, raise your hand if you don't have one. Somebody will give you a pen and paper to write your question. What is it? Oh, that's, yeah, there'll be a book at the end that has more questions than answers. Huh?
That also has questions and answers.
That's also a question and answers, yeah, the book that's available at the end of the lecture. Can you please enlighten us how to introduce or tell people about Gaur Nithai? It depends on their, who, there's no set rule. It depends on the audience, who you're speaking to. Is an atheist? It really depends. There's no one set thing you can tell. It depends on the person. If a person is pious and they're faithful, you can say that the Lord has very mercifully appeared in the form of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai to bestow what no other incarnation has ever bestowed before so easily, pure love of God. We are marginal living entities, so we always had a little independence. So how come we were already in the spiritual world? Does it mean initially we chose to stay in the spiritual world? That's our natural position. A fish is naturally in the water. For him to be on the land is an artificial position. Sometimes when the tide comes in, a fish who's trying, he may get caught on the beach. So we're like fish who got stranded on the beach, but our natural position is in the ocean, this material, the spiritual ocean, not in this material world. Isn't the material world, only in the material world we have a choice of connecting to Krishna? No, the choice is always there. In the spiritual world, you have full freedom to choose to be with Krishna or not to be with Krishna. If you choose not to be with Krishna, then you find yourself in the material world. The free will of the living entity is eternal. It's not some temporary thing. You eternally have the free will. Otherwise, what is your position? You're just a robot. If someone offered you a beautiful girl to marry, by the way, it's a robot. She looks really good. She cooks nicely. She's loyal. But it's just a robot. Would you be attractive? You say, no. There's no personality in a robot. So if we have no free will, we have no personalities. And we're not interesting to associate with. We're just machines. So we have free wills to either serve Krishna or to leave Krishna. That's what makes it interesting, association for Krishna. Why is Krishna so specific, and why do we have to bow down to him? Why do you have to bow down to your stomach? Every time you eat a meal, you bow down to your stomach by routing all the food to your stomach. Why do you have to serve your stomach? Because that's the way your body is constructed. So Krishna is the original source of all existence. We naturally have a relationship with him of servitude, being his energy. So it's just the way reality is constructed. It's not that the stomach and the hand can change places. By nature, we're the servants of Krishna. Is there an honest, significant effort of the level of gurus initiating spiritual masters to curb the guru groupism in ISKCON? This is really political. Somebody's asking a very political question here. Not very philosophical, but we will answer it. We do have a society, and we're all the followers of Srila Prabhupada. And there's one big house called ISKCON. But within that house, there's different rooms. Just like the ISKCON Melbourne is also a group within ISKCON. You have ISKCON Sydney, ISKCON Adelaide. We're all one family, but yet we have different divisions also. So just like you have ISKCON Melbourne, you have ISKCON Adelaide, ISKCON Sydney, you also have within the same variegatedness of ISKCON, you also have disciples of different gurus as well. So there's nothing wrong with being loyal to your guru or being loyal to your temple and feeling something special about your temple. There's nothing wrong with that. To just say, oh, it's guru groupism, I mean, that's a pretty negative term. One should feel something special for his spiritual master and the other disciples, your God brothers and God sisters. There's nothing wrong with that. as long as you feel at the same time the member of the society, you can have a feeling of the spiritual master's group and being very happy by your group. Just like when I was a kid, I grew up, you see, in the Bridge family. My father, my mother, my brother, my sister. There was five of us. We were a family unit. But yet I had my uncle and my aunt, and they lived about a couple of miles west from us. And I had my cousins, and so I felt something special about my family, and I felt something special about the greater family too. So there's nothing wrong with feeling loyal to ISKCON Melbourne or to your spiritual master. Nothing wrong, as long as you feel it, understand it's a part of a greater, and you feel for the greater also. So to feel for your guru and your God brothers and God sisters, that's a natural thing. It's wonderful, as long as you don't make it some exclusive thing that we're the only Krishna conscious people and the others are no good, then obviously it's not healthy. What is the meaning of the lotus feet? The lotus flower has a very amazing quality. The lotus leaf exudes a waxy substance that makes it actually waterproof. The water just rolls right off. It doesn't penetrate. So lotus feet means even when Krishna is walking in this world, he's never actually saturated by the material world. He remains transcendental to the material world. Lotus feet means transcendental. Okay, so can you please let me know if the following understanding is correct? We were already present in Vaikuntha. We misused our free will for the first time and fell down. After we made our first exit and returned back to Vaikuntha, we will not fall down again. Once burned, twice shy. That's correct. You could fall again because you have the free will, but you won't because you learn your lesson. You won't. You won't do it. You could, but you won't. How one should deal a friend by knowing that he is on the wrong track, which deviates him from Krishna consciousness. He's trying to justify his act. Well, is he someone who wants to practice Krishna consciousness? Then you should be very compassionate and tell him. Please elaborate about your letter to the President of the United States. Well, yeah, I wrote some song called The Peace Formula based on the Bhagavad Gita verse, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam, challenging all the world leaders to take Krishna's peace formula. So I sent a link to President Obama, encouraging him to, check out the song and adopt the principles in his position as President of the United States. And he wrote me back a very appreciative letter. He appreciated what I had sent him. He gave me a very encouraging letter thanking me for sharing my realizations with him. Some scriptures say deep sleep is actually akin to the blissful state. What scripture says that? I'd be curious. Because deep sleep is a state of unconsciousness. And Krishna consciousness is full consciousness. Quite different. How to not let disease affect our consciousness when we feel the pains of the body? Well, you simply have to remember, I am not this body, this is not me. You have to be convinced that you're not your material body. Well, remembering I'm not this body, help me get rid of the pain? Sure. The pain will still be there, but just like, for example, you're driving your car and you're running low on gas and the little, some cars, I mean, a little red light may come on or something like that. You're getting, or the oil is a good example. When the oil gets too low, a red light comes on to warn you, you got to put some oil in this car or you're going to ruin your engine otherwise. So pain is actually just a warning light on the dashboard, really, is all it is. So, when you run out of oil, you don't think, oh no, I'm out of oil. Then you're in trouble. You think, I am out of oil, you see. Or, I'm out of gas. Oh no, I'm out of gas. You haven't run out of gas, your car's run out of gas, you see. So if you identify with a car, you will if you don't identify with the body, you'll see, oh, this is a red light going off to warn me to do something, to take care of the body. It's Krishna's property. I have to take good care of it. I have to do something now. It doesn't affect your... It's just you keep a cool head. That's the point. Instead of becoming bewildered by it, you keep a cool head. If you see it for what it is, an instrument that Krishna has given you to use in his service. Is it true that there are two types of bona fide spiritual masters? Those who are eternally liberated and those who have perfected the process by perfectly following Prabhupada's instructions. Yes, that is true. Is there a difference in seeking shelter of either of them? No, it doesn't make any difference. Whether one is eternally liberated, just like, for example, Narada Muni, he was a conditioned soul. He became liberated by following this process. So whether you have Narada Muni as your spiritual master or you have someone who descended as a liberated soul from the spiritual world, it doesn't make any difference. Because once you're liberated, you're liberated. It doesn't matter. Then it doesn't matter anymore, you see. How they got liberated, whether they were eternally liberated or they became liberated. Liberated is liberated. And if he's liberated, he can liberate you, you see. So the spiritual master has to be a liberated soul, not someone who's caught up within the material nature, a liberated soul. Doesn't matter if he became liberated by following his guru or he ascended as a liberated soul from the spiritual world. It doesn't matter. Could you please give a little discourse regarding Mangalarti? I work up until midnight in my office. A little discount or discourse? A little discount, it looks like. A discount. In other words, give me a concession. We can do that. If you get up 6 hours after you take rest and have Mangalarti, then. I know, I spent 14 years as a brahmachari, and I was really, you know, Mangalarti ki chai, you know. For 14 years of Mangalarti, I was blessed with a Krishna conscious wife, but I was blessed with a duty now to go out and get a job and be, you know, an ideal example of a house sitter, which is another type of preaching. Another type of preaching. Well, you've been preaching to house sitters how they should do. Now you get to show by your example. The brahmachari was telling the house sitters how they should live a Krishna conscious life. And now I get to be a grihastha and show by an example how to live a Krishna conscious life. So I took it as a new type of preaching. That's them. Do you get to preach by your example? Instead of just telling the householders how to be Krishna conscious householders, you can actually be one and show them how to do it. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I got a job, and it was from 11 p.m. until 8 a.m. It was my hours. Some kind of a computer job, you know. Babysitting a mainframe computer running all night, checking the output, you know. It was running okay. And, wow, there went Mangalarti. What to do? My God, Krishna, what to do? My Mangalarti. But then the boss said, you know, Wes Hillpot was his name. He said, you know, Mr. Bridge, nobody really likes to work this night shift. We don't mind if you take an extra long lunch break. An hour, hour and a half is okay. We don't mind. Well, there it was. At 4 o'clock, I headed out from the office. I went to pick up Mataji, took her to the temple, attended Mangalarti, 4:30 to 5. 5, went back to the office. By 5:20 or so, I was back in the office from 4. So I had Mangalarti every day, you see. Because I had that strong desire, you see. I had that burning desire in my heart. I must go to Mangalarti. Krishna reciprocated. So how much do you want to observe Mangalarti? The thing is, even if you're working till midnight, I'll give you another example. I was traveling with Vishnujan Swami in a wonderful program called The Road Show. We had a rock opera about a hippie who became a devotee. It was really nice, a full-on rock opera with a full, you know, costumes and, you know, sound effects and scenery. It was a full-on rock opera we had. And we traveled all over the U.S. putting on this rock opera. We, at university campus, they'd pay $1,000. And so we had Radha-Damodar, the big Radha-Damodar deities that Prabhupada originally named Radha-Damodar. And so the deities would have to stay up late for the rock opera because they were the stars of the show, you see. And the deities would stay up late for the rock opera. So what to do? Well, the deity, Mangalarti, because the deities are up till midnight, you see, because of the rock opera. By the time you do the whole thing, you know, wind up, pack up at the end of the show, you know, have a big kirtan at the end, prasadam distribution to all the people who came. You know, by the time it's all over and the deities actually take rest, the deities may not take rest till midnight. So Prabhupada said, you can wake up the deities 6 hours after they took rest and have Mangalarti then. So that's what we did sometimes. And it was just, you know, very rare. Whenever we had a show, the deities would get up 6 hours after they took rest. Prabhupada authorized it. So if you're working till midnight, you can do that program, you see. You can get up 6 hours after you take rest and have Mangalarti. Huh?
But that was for the deities.
Yeah, well, the devotees did it along with the deities because they were their servants. Oh, that's obvious, but that's what he meant. It's obvious, but that's the proper understanding. Because we're the servants of the deities.
Can I say? Because if the devotees wake up 6 hours later, then the deities will get up.
No, the devotees had to get up earlier to wake up the deities. Exactly. 6 hours to do that. Yeah, obviously. A little earlier, yeah. That's right. That's correct. Okay, recently someone criticized the devotee I worship and respect. I just wanted to run away, but unfortunately I didn't. How do I resolve conflict in my mind now about criticizing devotees? My dear godbrother Jayananda, very famous, Prabhupada is considered to be a pure devotee. Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. He confirmed that he went back to Godhead. A very advanced devotee. If you criticize any devotee, he would immediately leave. He didn't want to hear any devotee being criticized. You criticize a devotee, immediately walk away. That's all he would do. Immediately go away. He would never hear. If you glorified him, immediately walk away. If you criticize a devotee, immediately walk away. That was how Jayananda Prabhu dealt with that stuff. He was always glorifying the devotees. He was always glorifying the devotees. A preacher, what should be the most essential qualities we should have to inspire others to become devotees? Compassion. How to deal with a devotee who is very dedicated and expert in service but has a very harsh attitude to devotees? You're supposed to avoid them. You avoid such devotees because that's not good association. Somebody who has you keep them at a distance. Don't associate with them. They're a bad association.
It can be their own perception.
Huh?
It can be their own perception.
It could be your own perception also. It could be that person is actually just a very expert manager and preacher who is giving very good training to other devotees. It could be your harshness. So you have to be careful about that. You have to be sincere. I am 8 years old. How many rounds should I chant? Well, you could chant 8 rounds, and then every year you chant. Well, that'd take you too long to get to 16. By what age do you want to chant 16 rounds? That'd be my question. At what age do you want to chant 16 rounds?
Prabhupada said, at the age of 12, the child can get initiated.
They can get initiated by the age of 12? Okay, so then by the age of 12, by the time you get to 12, that's 4 years later, so you could do, you know, at the age 8, you do 8, the age 9, you do 10. The age, you know, that way you could do 2 extra rounds every year. Start off at 8 now, then every year add 2 more to your quota. That'd be a good program. Sometimes we cover our material sense gratification, saying, I will get over it gradually, but death can come at any minute. How do I get over the mentality of saying gradually, I will get over it when I know I'm not putting any endeavors towards it? Famous last words. Gradually. But Krishna, I was gradually going to give up sense gratification. I leave my body meditating on, let's say for example, I leave my body meditating on sex. And then the Yamadutas, they say, well, you know, you're supposed to be a pure devotee, but you're thinking about sex. We have a special program for you to help you give up that desire. And you have to go become a monkey or a pig for one lifetime because you were thinking about sex at the time of death. But I was going to give it up gradually. Okay, you can give it up gradually in the body of a pig or a monkey in your next life. So you have to think about it pretty soberly. And the fact is that Bharata Maharaj became a deer. Even though he's a devotee, he became a deer in his next life. So you have to think about it seriously. How should we react if someone is abusing and offending us in the material world? You can take it as a great blessing, actually. Take it as a great blessing. I thought I could enjoy here separately from Krishna, but now you're helping. My dear sir, I very much appreciate how you're helping me to realize that I cannot enjoy it except away from Krishna. Thank you for this. We say this sampradaya we follow is Brahma Madhvagaudiya, but why we don't worship Brahmaji? We are worshipping Brahmaji every minute. By serving Prabhupada, we're automatically worshipping Brahmaji in the best possible way. Didn't you know that? When you worship Srila Prabhupada, that worship goes through the whole disciplic. Every day at Guru Puja, we're worshipping Brahmaji. When you worship the present Acharya, you represent every single Guru up the whole line. So worshipping Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, all the way up Vishwanath, Naratam, Six Goswami, Chaitanya, Ishwarapuri, Madhavendrapuri, all the way up the line, you're worshipping every one of them when you worship Srila Prabhupada. And you worship your own Guru also. You worship all the Gurus automatically then worshiping them. Okay. Why do you have the haircut that you do? It's really cool. I mean, in more ways than one. It's cool also, physically. It's very cool, especially in the summer. The real thing is it feels clean. Have you ever shaved your head it feels so clean? I mean, it's wonderful. The most clean feeling you could ever have. Shampooing just doesn't match it. It really doesn't. Shampooing your hair doesn't come close to the feeling you have with a shaved head. Sorry, ladies. Papa told Gurvindadasi, don't worry, in your next life you can be a brahmachari. It's of course, the ladies, you have your beauty is your hair, and Papa didn't want the ladies to shave. But we men get this special nectar, we get to shave up. And as soon as it gets a little long, it just feels horrible. I can't stand it when it's. You know, I shave it once every week, every Sunday I shave it. And it feels so good every time I shave it up. After 7 days, it feels horrible, you know. That hair out there—that's why I do it. Of course, it's Prabhupada's order also that we at least once a month we should shave. And what is that marking on your face? This is called tilak. This is the insignia of the soul. It marks the body as the property of the Supreme Lord. It's the sign of someone who was conquered over death. And if you like to conquer over death, I'll train you how to do it. I belong to the deathless club. The deathless club. The club of immortality. This marks me as a member of the immortality club. Yes.
The microphone is not straight.
How do we know that that devotional service we have performed is up to the mark? It's not. You can know it's not up to the mark until you're seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye. Your devotional service is not up to the mark. How do we improve? I can tell you, look at those 10 offenses, study the 10 offenses, because it all boils down to your relationship with Krishna's name. How you relate with the name affects every aspect of your devotional service. So study the 10 offenses against the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, and make sure you're avoiding all of them. Should we do the same service and achieve perfection, or do we do a little of all services? Do whatever your spiritual master requests you to do. That's the key. How to become Krishna conscious? How the chanting helps us. Krishna consciousness means to fully absorb yourself in serving Krishna with your thoughts, your words and your deeds 24 hours a day. The chanting helps to it's like on I remember when I was a kid, my dad had a hi-fi radio, and there was the tuning knob, and then there was the subtle tuning knob. There was like FM radio stations where you could really, you know, you could get to the station, and once you get there, you turn to the fine-tuning knob to just really get in, and for audio files, you know, you really get in there and get the best possible sound you can get, you see. So chanting is your fine-tuning knob on your consciousness. Is Bhagavad Gita Shruti or Smriti? Let's see here. That's an interesting question. Shruti means Shruti means the original Vedas and also the Upanishads. No? Shruti is not the Upanishads? Sometimes it's called Gita Upanishad. So I'd have to research that. But Shruti is the... One is like the mother, the other is like the sister. So I'm not a real expert on this Shruti and Smriti. But Shruti is the original Vedas are called Shruti and the corollary literatures are called Smriti. That I know.
Upanishads.
Huh?
Upanishads are Shrutis.
So... But Bhagavatam, I know, is Smriti. Some people say that Smriti has no value, only Shruti is important, but that's not true. The Smriti helps us to understand properly Shruti. Shruti can be obscure and difficult to understand, but Smriti makes it understandable. Like the mother may give an instruction, you don't understand, but the sister can tell you what mother meant. You see? The sister can help the daughter to understand the mother better, the older sister. I have observed that my spiritual life is affected by this success and failure of material achievements. Is this normal? Please guide me. It's normal for neophytes, but for advanced devotees, that such effect, being affected, is non-existent, because they see success and failure equally, as equal opportunities to dive deeper into the ocean of Krishna consciousness. Even after I sleep well at night, I sometimes tend to feel sleepy. While chanting after Mangalarti, how to overcome it? Stand up and walk back and forth. If Guru comes in the dreams and gives an instruction, is that to be taken seriously? If it's in line with what he's already telling, if it's the same thing he's already telling you, yes. If it's something different, it could be the trick of Maya. So you can't just blindly do everything you hear in a dream. The dreams sometimes are different images are mixed together. That they're not actually factual. So if the dream actually is repeating what you've heard already, then you can accept it as real. But if it's different than what you're reading in the books, then don't trust it. How do we motivate ourselves to finish our 16 rounds even if we are sick or tired? The trick that I've advised many people is just don't eat until your rounds are done. That will give you plenty of impetus to get your rounds done. You don't take prasadam until you finish your rounds. It's a very easy way to get your rounds done. if we get Lord in the dream, is that indicating his blessing? Any remembrance of Krishna is a great blessing, a great blessing. Does our spiritual name resemble under whom we serve in the spiritual world? Not necessarily. It could, it may not. Your spiritual name is to remind you you're the eternal servant of Krishna. You're named after Krishna or one of the great devotees of Krishna. To remind you you're the devotee of Krishna. It may not match who you are in the spiritual world. But it does match, because in another sense, it does match, because in the spiritual world, you're the servant of Krishna, and you're servant of Krishna's devotees. So every name is a perfect match. What does hearing mean? Hearing means the sound vibration is in the ether, and it's the auditory nerves pick up that sound vibration, and you actually focus on what that the signals you're getting through your auditory nerves, and you're translating that into understanding the what's being spoken, and then acting on it. How to utilize our hearing capacity to maximize our Krishna consciousness. One should be very, very eager to hear. Prabhupada gives his own story in this connection, that he was a pharmaceutical businessman in Allahabad, but Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was giving, they were doing that Braj Mandal Parikrama, and every giving lectures at this place and that place, so many lectures. So, but he spoke in very erudite English, so most of the boys, Bengali villagers, couldn't understand what he was talking about. So during those evening lectures, they would go for darshan instead of going to hear the lecture. But our Srila Prabhupada, he would go and always hear that evening lecture. Even though there's hardly anyone there, just him and a few sannyasis basically were there. Prabhupada said, I would understand or I would not understand, but I would go on hearing. And Guru Maharaj therefore marked me that when they asked, we recommend this Abhay Charan from Allahabad to be your disciple. He said, oh yes, the others go away, but he hears very nicely, therefore I will accept him as my disciple. So this hearing is very important, whether you understand or you do not understand. It's like today, my wife was giving a class in the Prabhupada room, and there was two young boys, the children of my disciples, just sitting out there kind of goofing around on the couch. I got them up and sent them into here. I don't know if they're here now. They are. Oh, okay. Krishnita is here. Good. So yeah, the thing is, the children they get more benefit by hearing than we do. So make sure your children hear. When there's lectures going on, you bring them the lecture with you. Have them sit in your lap if you have to get them focused in. It's very important the children hear, because they get much more benefit. Their brains are so absorptive. They have much more absorptive power than we do as older folks. So get those kids to hear, because if they hear regularly, they'll become very fixed up in this understanding this philosophy. They run and play. No, not going to be the same. Okay, does hearing only will purify, or do we have to make efforts to apply what we hear? Well, that's the application of what you hear is the perfection of your hearing. From 8 years old, now how many rounds did I do? I already answered that one. You do 8 now, and then every year you go to 2 more. We see during Srila Prabhupada's lifetime only many temples open in the Western countries, but now it seems to slow down in the West. Yes, that's true. So now we have to speed it up. We have to put more energy into preaching and purify ourselves so we become potent. What Krishna say? He says, yad yadatati shresh sastattare vacharojara sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanavartate. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, lokastadanavartate, the whole world follows that example. So our devotees now, all over the movement, all of us, we have to do our duty and become acharyas. Every one of us must become acharya. Whether you're a man, you're a woman, it doesn't matter. We should all become acharyas, ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. And then we can attract, according to Krishna, lokastad anuvartate, the whole world will follow. So our mission is actually, Prabhupada said, to conquer the whole world. So not just the Indians, people who are very dear to us. The people from India are now the greatest asset we have in terms of support all over the world. When I joined, there was only one, there was hardly any Indians in the movement. There was only, the only one I knew was Prabhupada. One Indian, his name was A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And so, but now it's we didn't have any Indians coming to our temple, not one. And then I went to Houston. It was quite unusual because there, Bob Cohen, who became Brahmatirtha, he was a geologist working on the outside, so he knew how to relate to people who had careers on the outside. And he started preaching to the Indian community there, and I'd never seen such a thing. We had a huge, there were 300 of our Hindu brothers coming every Sunday, and we had about 10 brahmacharis in the temple. We had 300 guests every Sunday. It was huge. It was wonderful. I'd never seen such a thing. It was very unusual and very wonderful. So that program has been going strong, and now they built a huge, beautiful temple there. You see, the Houston temple is amazing, a brand new, big temple, a big a congregation, what is that, the Gauranga Hall, where they have a stage. It's a huge complex. So the Indian people have gotten really behind our temple there in Houston, all starting with Brahmatirtha. He started with one family. He started with one family, Mr. Rashmi Shah, from Gujarat, and his wife and his son Rocky, and I forget the other boy's name. And I remember one Sunday they wanted to stay home and watch the Super Bowl, but Rocky said, "No, Mommy, I want to go temples." So they turned off the TV and came to the temple, forget the Super Bowl, you see. So it's the Indian people have been a great asset for our movement, and now practically, you know, the figure the percentages. But in Eastern Europe, though, it's all Westerners. There's no Indians there. That's the nice thing about Eastern Europe. You go preaching there. It's like the old days in America. It's very nice there. We need to get the Australians, you know, the native Aussies and the Native Americans, you know, the ones who've been there. We need to get them into Krishna consciousness now. We really have to. This is not a Hindu organization. This is a universal organization. We have to get everybody into this movement. What is the future of our movement? Well, that depends on us, how pure we are. If we become pure enough, we can actually lead the whole world out of chaos. If we remain in some quasi-Krishna conscious position, well, we'll just kind of limp along and not do much to change the world. So it's up to us. Whether we're going to be quasi-devotees or come on full-on pure devotees, it's our choice which path we want to take. You see, you want to be a quasi or a devotee or a shuddha bhakta, quasi bhakta or shuddha bhakta. You take your choice. But I can tell you where the nectar is if you want to know where it is. Being a shuddha bhakta is where the nectar is. Okay, is this changing its character compared to the 70s when you joined? Whether ISKCON should change its strategy of preaching within the changes of society in the modern world? We should not, we have to keep the Prabhupada's teachings pure. We don't want to throw out all the things he taught us thinking we have to make it, you know, people don't like to bow down, so we shouldn't bow down anymore in the temple. Let's go ahead and just, you know, make it more accommodating to the Christians. And they actually tried that in New Vrindavan. They started singing Christian hymns. They grew beards and they had Christian. They dressed like Christian monks. This whole idea was completely bogus. We don't need to do that stuff. We just have to purify our own hearts. That's all. We don't need to change the Krishna consciousness process to make it more attractive to the Westerners. That would be a big mistake. Some people are kind of saying we should do that now, but it's not really what Prabhupada wanted. We shouldn't dress in devotional clothing anymore because it turns people off. Well, Prabhupada said that my disciples, we dress in this way so the people will know that we are Hare Krishna people. This is our trademark. Just like you go to McDonald's, he has a little McDonald's uniform, you know. Oh, there's one of the... You go on the airline, you know, you can recognize, oh, there's the pilot. the captain. Oh, there's the flight attendants. You can immediately recognize them. If the flight attendants dressed like passengers, it'd be confusing. You wouldn't know who to ask for a glass of water, you know. It'd be confusing. So why we should make it confusing for people by just merging in and looking like everybody else? We're dressing in this way as a function. We are brahmanas. We are spiritual teachers, and people should be able to recognize by our dress, at least by tilak and neck beads, and the men with sikas, at least. You see. Okay, can you please elaborate or explain more on the statement that you take one step towards Krishna, and he takes nine steps towards you? Well, that's Krishna's mercy. Krishna does reciprocate much more than we. He's very kind. You show a little bit of inclination toward Krishna, he'll come very, very, he'll give you so much mercy. From even a little tiny endeavor to become his devotee, he'll give you big mercy. Srila Prabhupada said that if we are 70% Krishna conscious, we shall go back to Godhead. So what is the parameter of measurement? Well, I can tell you this. If you're studying for a final exam, should you think, well, I'm just going to study to make a 70 on this exam, or you should study to make 100 on the exam? I'm just going to study and make a 70. I'm going to take it kind of easy. I'll just study to make a 70 on the exam. Well, you end up with a 65. And you flunk, you see. Now, if you want to pass the exam, you better go for 100%. And then if you don't quite make it, well, you're still okay because you were going for 100%. Okay? So you better, if you want to go back to Godhead, you better go for pure devotional service. If you don't make it all the way, but you're really sincerely endeavoring, Krishna can understand. He can give you some bonus points at the end to help your path. You see what I'm saying? You better go for 100%. Don't give me this cheating thing. I'm just going to go for 70%. You can be in big trouble. You just go for 70%. Prabhupada said in Montreal, what is it? Montreal. That's when he said 70%. But in his books, it says 100%. The books are the most authoritative thing. The most authoritative statements of Prabhupada are in his books. So, bear that in mind. And don't discard the fact that he said you have to be completely pure devotee to go back to God and say, I'll just go for 70%. You have to endeavor for 100% pure bhakti. And then Krishna, just like Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Goswami, he said, you just give this whole life in the service of Lord Chaitanya, and if there's anything lacking, he'll cover for you at the time of death and take you back to Godhead. So the thing is, you make that 100% endeavor right now, from this moment on, the rest of your life, 100% for Krishna. And if there's anything lacking, Krishna can cover for that, because he saw the sincerity of the endeavor. You want to add anything? You want to answer some of these? Huh? If you want to answer one, just let me know. Your answers are very good.
But then you have to give me the question, not like that you read it.
I can read it to you. You want me to hand you a few? Okay, give her a few questions. And you can read those, and I'll answer. One here, but you're reading those. You can read those while I'm answering. Look them over and think, and I'll answer one. You can go next. Okay, I have a small Ladu Gopal deity which I'm worshipping after joining ISKCON. Is that okay, or should I have Gaura-Nitya, Radha Krishna, Jagannath Mahalaya, Subhadra? Ladu Gopal is not in our Sampradaya. According to what Prabhupada taught us, we never worship Krishna, alone. We recommend that if you want to have deities, Gaura-Nitya are the way to go, because there's no offense you can commit to Gaura-Nitya. But Radha Krishna and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, you're getting the strict rules and regulations. You have to wake them every morning for Mangal Arti. You have to bathe and dress them every day. You have to feed them proper meals throughout the day. You have to put them to rest at night and change their clothes, put them in the bed. This is every day for the rest of your life. Even if you're traveling, you can't neglect them. You have to do it in your hotel room if you're flying somewhere, or you know, have someone who can cover for you. So, therefore, but Gaur Nitai, if you just have a kirtan, they're happy. So if you want to have deities, go with Gaur Nitai. This is Prabhupada's, what Prabhupada explains. Just go with Gaur Nitai. Otherwise, you think, well, what if you get Radha Krishna deities and you have to have Mangalarti, but you wanted to come to the temple for there's a big festival for Mangalarti, so then you have to do two Mangalartis that day. You can't just leave your deities and have go to the temple. You have to do Mangalarti for your deities. Just like Mataji and I, we travel with Radha Krishna. We have to have two Mangalartis every day. I come here for Mangalarti, I go upstairs and offer Mangalarti. Two Mangalartis I have to do because we have Radha Krishna deities, you see. We're traveling with them. So we don't recommend, we recommend other deities. No, you keep them as a remembrance of Krishna like you have a photograph, but not on the altar. But on, you put Gaur Nitai on your altar and just do worship Gaur Nitai. If you want deities at all, only Gaur Nitai. That's what we recommend. According to what Prabhupada has taught us. You got a, you ready to answer one up?
Well, I want to know who is this 5-year-old master asking how many rounds should we chant? Whose question is this?
How many rounds should we chant?
He says, whoever it is, I am 5 years old, how many rounds should I chant?
Oh.
So who is this?
Who's 5 years old?
And it's rooted for these days. I think Krishna wanted to make an five, so he wanted to. He wrote it for Krishna.
He wrote it for Krishna. I mean Krishna.
Krishna.
But Krishna, did you want to know how many rounds you should chant? He doesn't know. Man is wrote it, so yeah.
People should ask questions on their own behalf, not for someone else. Yeah. That's not, it's, ask on their own behalf, not someone else's behalf. Who doesn't even have the question. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, next question.
What is the best way to read and understand Bhagavad Gita?
What was the question?
What is the best way to read, understand Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah. So what's the answer?
Whose question is this?
I don't know.
Well, but you can read with some senior devotee. If you don't understand something, then you can hear from somebody. That's the best way.
Okay, I'll take one. You give another one to him. Now I'll do one. How important it is to find a Krishna conscious wife? Well, actually, the best thing is to stay brahmachari. But if you want to get married, you better get a. She better be Krishna conscious, otherwise you're going to go to hell. Prabhupada actually said, "I'm asking all the women to get married. I'm asking all the men to stay brahmachari. That is the dilemma." But somehow or other, Krishna, it all works out by Krishna's arrangement. As a guru, I have to face it. Sometimes I have ladies who want to get married, but I don't have any men who want to get married. As a guru, I face this dilemma now, you see. I have female disciples who want to be married, but they have no husband for them. So, but Prabhupada, I heard Prabhupada one time said this. He said, if a girl is chaste and a good cook, I will personally arrange for her marriage. So if a lady wants to get married, don't mess around with men. Just be a chaste. Don't go flirting around with men like a prostitute. Keep yourself very pure and chaste and learn how to be a very good cook. Prabhupada will make an arrangement for you if you do that.
The next question is, what is the importance of Tulsi tree in our home? You have a devotee in your home, take care of, serve the devotee, and the leaves will be given, they picked and offered to Krishna, so your offering becomes complete. worship her. Just like we do it in the temple. Offer up to you, Bhagavan, Sukumaraya, so you become purified of all your sins.
Okay, next one. What if my spiritual connection is not strong enough? That's true of all of us. So this question is relevant for every one of us. My heart says, believe. My head tells me something else. I do want to believe, but what do I do? Krishna consciousness is not blind faith. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam gananas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have in fact seen the truth. They're seeing the truth at every minute, actually. So why does one inquire from the spiritual master? Is it? Because this is not something you blindly accept. In fact, I was taught very expertly by Vishnujana Swami when I first came around. He said, you must inquire until your intelligence is satisfied. You must do them. I took that very seriously. So, we don't want you just believing. We want you to know. You see? Believing is not... We don't believe Krishna is God. We know that Krishna is God. You have to inquire until you go beyond the realm of belief and you go to the realm of, yes, I know this is a fact. That's what we want. We don't want believers. We want knowers here. This is a science. It's not a sentiment. Believing is a sentiment. It can change. Today I believe in this. Tomorrow I believe in that. But when you know, you're rock solid. You'll never waver, you see. We want you to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next.
Does too much austerity make one stone-hearted? Austerity in the sense of devotional service. Austerity you have to do anyway, whether you work in the material world with the wrong result, or you do austerities, you have to do the austerities anyway. But the results will be different. So if you do the austerities in Krishna consciousness, it does not make your stone harder. But it makes you more compassionate, more merciful and all kinds of things. But if you do the austerities under the modes of nature, you will be bound. But austerities in the Krishna consciousness, even if you feel that it makes you stone-hearted, it will liberate you. So austerity you must perform in any case.
I want to go to Navadvip Parikrama. What benefit I shall get if I do this? Unlimited benefit. We're down to the last question now. So she has none and I have one. Anybody has any more questions? So we're running out of time anyway? Okay. All right, this is the last one. In Vallabha Sampradaya, present in Gujarat, Sri Vallabhacharya is considered to be as Mahaprabhu and represents Radha and Krishna. However, in ISKCON, Vallabhacharya is not glorified at all, acknowledging him as an incarnation of Radha Krishna. Why? Is it the same as Chaitanya is considered an incarnation? Actually, Vallabhacharya was a follower of Lord Chaitanya who left the movement, started his own movement. He blooped. He came to Lord Chaitanya and said, I have a commentary better than that. I have a commentary on Vedanta better than the one by Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami is one of the great commentators. So Vallabhacharya said, I have a better explanation than Sridhar Swami. So Lord Chaitanya said, then you are a prostitute. He chastised him. You think you have a better commentary than Shridhar Swami? You're a prostitute. You see? Swami means sannyasi. It also means husband, right? So he says, if you're not dedicated to Swami, then you're a prostitute. You see? It's like a wife is not dedicated to her Swami, she's a prostitute. So you're not dedicated to Swami, then you're a prostitute. Little poetry, poetic chastisement there.
Vallabhacharya also found fault with Rupa Goswami.
Huh?
Vallabhacharya also found fault with Rupa Goswami. Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami chastised him.
He was a great personality, you know, not to be one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, but he deviated. So we don't follow that sampradaya. He deviated from Chaitanya's movement.
Vallabhacharya's sampradaya is called Pusti Marga and we are Nivritti Marga. So which one?
They worship Krishna alone as Ladu Gopal.
Yeah, and Pusti Marga means to fulfill your material desires.
Yeah.
Nivritti means you become liberated.
But it's a little sensitive point because Sumati Muraji was a follower of Vallabhacharya. And there was an article in Bhakti Godhead magazine one time, I must have been critical of Vallabhacharya, and she got rather disturbed by that. So Prabhupada was rather tactful about it. So you should be tactful. We want to engage people in Krishna's service, but I would just be blunt and have people go away in a huff. I forget the details, but he was very tactful in dealing with the disturbance of Sumati Muraji. He was the one who sponsored him to come to America. So, you know, and she did a great service. She was a follower of Vallabhacharya. So we're very respectful and very sensitive about these things. We don't want to offend people, but for our understanding, we don't just go around criticizing Vallabhacharya. He was a great personality. But he was, you know, there was some deviation from Lord Chaitanya there also. So we're very, very tactful with these sort of things. Just like Prabhupada was tactful dealing with Sumati Muraji in this regard. So we should be very tactful about these things.
There is some mention about Bhagavacharya and Chaitanya Charitamrita. They can do the research work. Who wants to know more about Pushti Margi, Prabhupada is mentioning some.
So there's nothing else. We can stop here, and we thank you all very much for attending tonight's program. We hope you've gained some benefit. I have, if you're interested in these questions and answers, my book is available here with tons of questions and answers in it. My disciples can now announce about this book. And we have Prasadam here as well. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.